And now we have our nice, peaceful energy.
Right. Here we are, worldwide live on the internet through BBS Radio in Paradise, California. My name is Gijs Minderhout. I'm also located close to Paradise in the town of Magalia, California. And it is Wednesday, the 7th of August, 2016. Sorry, mute this line. Sorry, Carolyn.
Yeah.
Tonight we have our weekly call. You got questions, we got answers. Our beautiful angelic sister, Terry Brown, I believe that she's here with us.
I'm here.
She is going to take care of business. Right, Terry?
Hello. Yes.
Thank you so much for being here, for doing what you're doing, Terry.
Our beautiful evangelist, Gijs Minderhout, here. Hang on a second.
Yes, I'm going to mute the line, so you're the moderator. I see you came with two helicopters today, Wynn. That's kind of strange.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Do you have two helicopters above your head?
No, I see two of them from your end. You dialed in twice with from your for the console. You dropped out once, I guess.
Okay. Well, I dialed in a second time to be a moderator.
Yeah, but also I see you're twice on the how you call it?
A moderator?
Dashboard. Oh. On the dashboard, yes. However, doesn't matter. Thank you so much for being here, Wynn and Terry, and great to hear that Jim is also present and that you guys visited him.
Jim has a lovely place. It's Superior, Arizona. It's called the Poor Man's Sedona.
All right.
And it's actually very, very, it feels very nice there, very safe energy. Beautiful mountains, not much population, and I was quite impressed by it.
Awesome. Maybe you're not recording yet, Wynn, on our end.
Okay. Let me just see something. Terry?
Yeah.
I think, let's see, Wynn, Terry and I are in the same room, and we have to work it out, so... Can you hear an echo, Hans?
Yeah, no, so far so good.
Okay, I hear an echo.
But
if you don't hear it, that means it's not on the call. So what I'll do, Terry, when I ask you questions, hang on. Terry, I want you to talk. Just count to 10, okay?
Okay, yes. Here we are. 1, 2, 3, 4... 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Now, she didn't have any echo, did she, Hans?
No, she did not. That's a little echo from Terry coming back from your end.
Yeah, that's because she's not muted.
Uh-huh.
But unless she hides under the covers,
all
right. I don't know how we'll make that work or goes in the other room. Let's try it. If it gets really irritating.
Over here is no problem. It's more for yourself, I guess.
Yeah. Terry, you could turn the volume down in your earphone. Okay. No
problem. I don't know how to do that.
Turn the phone volume down.
Is it better right now?
Well, it'll have to be better because it won't feed back as much when I'm talking through the headset back to me. Okay, yeah, it's better. Okay?
So I can't hear you on the phone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
you have to turn it down high or make it loud enough so you can hear me.
I've got it turned off, so I don't hear you.
No, that's not... that's okay, actually.
Yeah.
Because you can hear me in the room, right?
Okay.
So...
Then you hear them live.
Yeah, if that works for you, okay? All right. So let's start the recording.
All right, ready
this
enough?
This conference is being recorded.
This is August 10th, 2016. Wynn and Terry in Mesa, Arizona. And this is our night for questions. And Mesa is one of those places that will always have a special place in my heart, because when we were in Los Angeles, when Daphne and I were in Los Angeles, and I said, isn't there somebody that's going to find this important? Can't you point me towards something? And they said, we suggest you go to Mesa, Arizona, which is 500 miles from Los Angeles. So Daphne and I never made it, but Terry and I did. And that's where we had our famous, they guided us to a Mormon church by street name. And it was quite amazing. But that's in the book. I'm not going to tell the story. It's in the Creator God book. But we're in Mesa now, because it just so happens Terry's dentist is in Mesa. And so every so often we come down for her to see her dentist. So in any case, tonight's the night we ask questions, and we have some questions, and we were going to call in the light and bring in our sources. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and be dispersed, transmuted to the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar systems, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra, and we send, spread, show up with our love everywhere, that through the cracks we are able to get. If we say anything that does not resonate with you, then it does not apply to you at this time, so discard it. We treasure this opportunity to be of service. Do you have questions?
Wynn can hear you.
Yeah, I'm still muted. I muted myself. Now I got to get into this new thing. Okay, this is from Cleo. Now, these kinds of questions that Cleo is giving, I'll ask it and we'll see what happens. At some point, I may not want to ask these questions, because when people ask about the negative, sometimes it doesn't work to ask it in this kind of situation. But in any case, Cleo's question is...
Where's Cleo located?
In Connecticut, okay?
Thank you.
But the question is kind of general, and she's talking about quite a few performers in the music industry, and along with politicians and others in the limelight, that have compromised their souls. Many have made statements alleging that they sold their souls to the devil. My understanding is that they've made agreements with the cabal or Illuminati to perform in a certain way in exchange for great success and money. The price extracted often entails great harm, death to self or loved ones if they stray from their agreement. Is this truly an agreement with Satan in that their souls will belong to him or go to hell when they die? Or is this an earthbound agreement with the evil Illuminati and their Draco partners who are running the show here? And I would like to add, and is there any difference? We assume when we've read in the Bible, in the New Testament, that, you know, Jesus used the word Satan or devil. And, of course, in today's world, we have a much more sophisticated understanding of what we could call the negative when we talk about reptilians and Dracos and Illuminati and secret cabals. And I'm not sure there's any difference, just a different way of saying the same thing. Okay, so let me turn it over to our sources.
Thank you. There is an entity who is playing the negative game. And when an entertainer starts out and agrees to certain unethical things in return for fame and fortune, they can not, they can realize that somewhere within them that what they're doing is unethical. However, they may not realize the full extent of what they are committing to. We do not like to respond to such negative questions as it pulls in the higher powers of the devil, if you wish to call that negativity the devil. It pulls in the higher powers of that, and it puts them out over the air. So we do not wish to pursue this question in depth. The individuals, as far as the future goes, they can cancel their agreement. However, they have made certain connections which not only involve them, but involve the higher negative forces. And it is very hard at that point to renege, as you take away one half of the agreement, but the other half of the agreement is still there. That is about all we wish to say at this time.
Thank you. Next question is from Novella Springer, and she lives in Calaveras County, Calaveras, California. And where she's living, in the foothills of Northern California, we hear booms and some strange energy going on, very intense. Could you give me information about what that is? Thank you.
Thank you. There is a certain adjustment going on in the earth itself. The energies are moving from the direction of the northwest toward the southeast, and as the energies readjust within the earth, it creates certain noises of readjustment. There are other underground construction also going on. So this is another source of booms. Listen to the booms and see what the nature of them are. Do they go boom and resonate? Or do, as some of these go, this is a different kind of an adjustment of underground tunnels that are sometimes experienced as machines may be built in underground tunnels, and there may be trains moving through underground tunnels, which also create noises. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Don Herman, this is a very good question, and I might expand on it, okay, because I have my own ideas, and I'd like to get confirmation. And isn't the act of the group souls creating the veil between the conscious and unconscious mind? Now, first of all, I would insert the question here, who created the veil between the conscious and unconscious minds? We don't know that it's them or it's some of the earthbound beings that were involved in creating stuff. Who created the veil? And then otherwise introducing negativity into the third density to speed up evolution. Rather, isn't that a large violation of free will? Seems like there should be better ways. It seems to me that if a person is living in poverty or experiencing other horrible conditions, they are probably less likely to evolve spiritually. And that's from Don Herman. I turn it over to our sources.
Thank you. When somebody is in very poor condition, they can reach out to others to receive and to give, as their community and the people of their community reach out to receive help or to give help. So it does open up one's mind and take them off the treadmill of the third dimensional fight for survival and put them a step above and can open them up. But on the other hand, maybe it will simply drive them further in, and then in a future life they will begin to realize the things that they have learned and how to live in the third dimension from their life in a very poor area that is hard to survive in. There was another part to the question.
The other part of the question was talking about this veil that humans have between their conscious and unconscious minds, and who introduced that idea of a veil, and isn't it a rather large violation of free will?
It is not a violation of free will in that subconsciously the people have bonded with the elements of the third dimension, which automatically put the veil there for them. There are other beings involved. There is a body involved. There is genetic material involved. It all places a veil between the individual and his perception and his ability to see beyond the veil. So by taking a body in the third dimension, one automatically gets a veil. The body, the cells of the body, the genetic inheritance of the body, the influence of the third-dimensional consciousness, the consensus of reality, the beliefs of the parents, who, when enforced on the child, makes another veil between what he is really seeing and what he thinks he may be seeing. So it is a part and parcel of becoming a one in with the third density. Eating of food also creates a veil because the food has certain frequencies and it brings the focus of the body into the area of the food rather than beyond the veil. So it is one of the things inherent in taking a body in the third dimension. Did you get that?
When?
Oh, I forgot to unmute. Thank you. All right. I wanted to add a question to that. I have a feeling, an intuition, and in fact, it was, when I looked it up, I found Sigmund Freud kind of, Carl Jung kind of validated this and other people. And it had to do with sexual expression and orgasm, breaking through and making a connection between the conscious and the unconscious. And first of all, is that true from your view of things?
Yes, it introduces the energies, which then opens up pathways that would not ordinarily be opened.
And was this a conscious engineering of the human energy field to work this way, and for a certain reason, and by who?
We go back to genetic engineering and this is very ancient technology and developed a little bit at a time. There's been mistakes, genetic mistakes, but then they do not survive. So the survival is going to the bodies that are able to genetically, sexually have the best performance and the best ability to attract the right partner and to get along with the right partner. So it is a matter of survival of some of it is selection of the ones that are able to survive the most. So was genetically engineered and had a little bit of a hand of creation moving in the direction of its own procreation and moving into something that survives better, being the one that is procreated. Is very ancient and has evolved.
There's an important question here. Because if somebody is in the realm here and now, and they're looking to evolve spiritually, and they're confronted with this separation of energies between the conscious and the unconscious minds, do they need to involve themselves in sexual expression? Maybe not everybody, but for certain people, in order to break down this veil and move to a higher evolutionary pattern?
They do not need to, however, it helps them operate as a fuller energetic being, which helps them in all aspects of their growth, physical and spiritual, if they have the proper, a proper sexual relationship.
And throughout history, there's been a lot of, taboos regarding sex. Guilt, control, all kinds of stuff. Were these taboos originated so that, as a control mechanism, so humans would be limited in their evolution?
No, these were limited for the survival of the race, in that if one wildly procreated without thought for the raising of the prodigy, then it would not work out. There are specific taboos which are meant to protect the young and to help with a proper environment for raising the young.
Thank you. This is from Cleo in Connecticut. I have a rare blood type that only about 12% of the population have. O negative. I've learned that this blood type is not of human origin and possibly originated on another planet. Could you ask our sources about the origins of this blood type and where I may have originated from, if that's the reason I have it? Cleo.
Thank you. It is correct that this blood type has originated from a rare race on another planet and carried down. The majority of blood types have originated from another planet. Give us a moment. This planet that your ancestors way, way back originated from was very far distant, and they had some space explorers, and when they went from planet to planet exploring, they spread their progeny, and so they salted those pockets of O negative blood, and it is from another star system and a place where the majority of people have O negative blood. That is our answer.
Thank you. Next question from Bonnie. Bonnie has a good question. I might have asked it myself some time back. And it has to do with the moon. And if you've never thought about it, this is Wynn's putting his words into this. If any of you have never thought about it, the moon has a very unusual trajectory and spin because it revolves around the Earth in such a manner that the backside is never visible. It's perfectly matched to the rotation of the Earth. And that it never turns, so both sides of the moon are visible. So my question is, why doesn't our moon spin around the planet? I tried looking this up and found a lot of what seemed like doublespeak and disinformation. The natural spin of the planets and the related centrifugal and centripetal energies generated doesn't seem to apply to the moon. Thank you.
Thank you. The moon was put into place in the distant past to help protect the Earth against asteroids and to help balance it. Earth previously tended to be a bit tumultuous, sometimes tumbling in orbit, and the moon was engineered to be in place in tandem with the Earth to maintain its Earth's direction toward the moon, as well as the moon's direction towards Earth, to help balance it so that it did not go into erratic changes in its orbit. There was much engineering in the distant past, the placing of pyramids in many places throughout the Earth, so that the Earth then would, this also would help the Earth to maintain balance so that it did not go into changing of its polar directory, of its spin, so it did not suddenly go into changes. A lot has been engineered to bring Earth into stability, and the moon was a part of it.
Thank you. Who was it that moved the moon into the orbit around the Earth?
It was an engineering a group of engineers that were called in to bid on a project to stabilize the Earth. Who were they? They were not from this planet. They were from Sirius.
Sirius.
Yes.
Sirius. Were they part of the, what Carla Rucker calls the Confederation? Were they connected to the Ra group or the Elohim group?
They were part of the Confederation. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And connection with the Ra group or Elohim group?
More of a connection with the Ra group.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Next question. We're going to have a little going down to the mundane with Susan Rush, and she's living with a guy right now who seems to identify with a famous American journalist, Hunter Thompson. Now, you know, Susan, they're not going to tell you. They're not going to violate his free will, okay? They're not going to tell you inside information on him, because that would be a violation, all right? But they will tell you what you're supposed to learn from it, okay?
Thank you. If you read about Hunter Thompson and you learn about him, what was his sense of humor like, and what did he write? What was his topic of interest? And if the more you learn about Hunter Thompson, then you will be able to see whether or not your friend has similar vibrations, qualities, and thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's actually the question from Susan. I'd like to know if this arrogant, smart Mensa guy that I'm now living with, rent-free, by the way, has some sort of energy or fragment or expression of Hunter Thompson, the gonzo journalist, because many people have mentioned that he looks and acts like Hunter, etc. Thank you. Now, for those of you who don't know, Hunter Thompson was kind of a radical, left-wing, stir-the-pot kind of in-your-face journalist. And he was known for getting very involved in his stories. For example, he wrote a story on the Hells Angels, and he went on the road with the Hells Angels for the period of time he was writing the story. So, you know, I think really Susan is asking what she's supposed to learn from this experience, okay, if anything.
Yes, this is a different question.
Is it okay if I pose that, or you want Susan to pose it?
Well, what is she supposed to learn? We look at the way this question is worded. It's supposed to have connotations that are of control, of placing the person out of control and placing control into a foreign area. So you are the one that's in charge. You are the one that sets up the conditions for which you can set the framework for your own learning. Therefore, in this relationship, you have set it up to respond in certain ways, to learn things from it, perhaps to expand your space, to be able to look at things from a different perspective. What is it that excites you, that you pursue within this relationship? Take a look and see where you have expanded, where you have already learned, and go from there.
Thank you. And, you know, ask yourself, why would you choose someone who you perceive as being arrogant and smart, okay? Why would you choose that kind of person? Okay, maybe it's free rent. Okay, I don't know, but we'll leave it at that. And the next question is from Dave Ferringer.
Hello, Dave.
Grove City, Pennsylvania. Why was I born with a very open crown chakra? I say this because it seems that my monkey brain gets a lot of assistance. My creativity is very high. So I assume that my sacral chakra is open too. Thank you.
Yes. You're looking in the area. You're very connected with the higher sources and the ability to bring in energies from other realms, which is very creative. This is something you wished. This is something you strove for, something you worked on. And we're taking a moment and looking at this. And we see the energies are able to come in and to enlighten, to light up your brain. And it is a situation you have wished, you have worked toward, and you are open to it, and therefore it's granted to you.
Thank you. Could we say that somebody has a very open crown chakra, that they are most likely an older soul?
We do not wish to go off onto tangents. It is not necessarily an older soul, and we do not mean to indicate whether you are or aren't by that answer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Edna. Edna in Shwahan, Washington.
No.
Shimonis.
Snohomish.
Mm-hmm. Right. I was at Mount Rainier some weeks ago for hiking, and I was amazed to feel the energy of that place. It was so spiritually fulfilling, and I could feel so much love. I left Mount Rainier with my heart overflowing and a beautiful feeling of love and satisfaction that I could still feel after for days. I love that wonderful place, and will get back there more often for hiking. My question, what is it about Mount Rainier that transmits so much love and healing? What does the energy of that place interact? Why does the energy of that place interact with my energy so beautifully? And is there anything special about my link to that place, Edna?
There's the snow, the frozen water, the purity of the air, the life on the mountain, in the shrubs, in the trees, in the flowers. It is a playground for spirits to expand and to, in the special energy of the place, to give and receive higher energies that extend into higher realms. The air, the fractals in the air, the purity of the air help to purify the energies of the body.
Thank you. I actually have had that same experience many, many years ago with Mount Rainier. And I remember, I think it was Mount Rainier, there's a park, maybe not, it was Glacier National Park, which I thought Mount Rainier was part of, but it may not. It was a park on the border between the U.S. and Canada that was pretty uplifting, when I didn't even know what the word uplifting was, okay? Next question we have here is from, just a moment. Hang on. Valerie in Livermore, California. Okay, I answered some of this by email to Valerie, and I don't know, it's one of those deals that I don't know if our sources want to get into it, so I'll get into it. And if they want to add anything or add any correction, then they can. And she says, I've been listening to your show for a few months now and find it very fascinating, of course. I am a quantum healing hypnosis therapist via Dolores Cannon. My first client that called me via Dolores Cannon's website of how to locate your nearby therapist happens to be a channeler. And I felt a very strong connection the first time we talked on the phone. After our first meeting in person, a spark began to ignite, and we were both very giddy and excited as where to go from there. Here, she believes that her 12 teacher guides that channel through her of the Ashtar command. So my question is regarding the Elohim and the Ra group, are you all associated with the Ashtar command? I have two other friends. One is a quantum healing hypnotherapist and the other is a master number. So the second part of my question is, do you have any suggestion of where shall all go from here? Thanks so much, and I truly appreciate everyone involved in this process. Love and light, Valerie. And, you know, essentially what I answered Valerie was, she is making the assumption and that everything that channels is exalted, okay? And at least that's the way I read it. And that if the Ashtar command are exalted, the Elohim are exalted, they're all part of each other. And from my experience, and we had gone into this quite a bit at one point, the Ashtar command is not a high source. Now, I don't think the Elohim want to necessarily say that, because they don't want to take inventory of other beings. But Ashtar command, and I found a couple of people. For those of you that don't know, Ashtar command is the name for a fleet of spaceships that's around our planet. A million spaceships, or a million people, that are laying in wait to save us. And that they're going to land and save humanity from the Illuminati. And now, Valerie may have a different Ashtar command, but that's every time I've heard the terminology Ashtar command, it referred essentially to what I just said. And our sources are not going to show up in that manner and create miraculous things for people to follow. And the reason is because, according to my understanding, they have done that in the past. And they've done miracles, and it hasn't worked out. And the reason it hasn't worked out is because people become blind followers. And it's their desire to not have people follow them, but to be co-creators with us. In other words, they have the ability to add their energy to our energy so that we can heal ourselves and so that we can increase our intentions by them adding to our intentions. And they would like to see more people having intentions, because intentions can transform this realm. If enough people have the right intention, that is the way the realm transforms. Not from some ET person who is going to do it for us. And their criteria for intentions is for the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. For the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. And if you can create an intention that doesn't violate someone else's free will, even the negatives, and is for the highest good of all concerned, and you're on our coast and you get the feeling for our sources, you may find something very magical happens. And if enough people do that, our realm will transform, okay? And so Ashtar Command is actually, from what I've come to know, it's a projection from the negative. It's a negative projection, and it does not come from spaceships, but it's a negative projection designed to keep people contained in a contracted level, waiting to give their power up to something outside themselves to save them and the planet. And I know that some people who are involved with Ashtar Command, and I met them and I talked to them, actually believe they want spaceships, and they have a very high degree of passion on the reality of their experience, because they thought they were on spaceships. And I've learned that it is possible for the negative to project holographic, I forget what they're called, holographic pictures that people can think they're having an experience when they're not. So that's my take on it. It's the best answer I've had for that. And thank you for asking it. Let me turn it over to our sources. And if they have anything to add that I'm incorrect in any of that, they certainly are welcome. Feel free to do that, which they do. So I turn it over.
Thank you. We are not connected with Ashtar Command. We are not connected. We are at a very much higher, different frequency than Ashtar Command. Ashtar Command is supplying the needs of some people to it projects to them images that that are important to them, and fills a need for those particular people. However, we are not connected with Ashtar Command at all.
Thank you. So on that note, great answers, Terry. Great questions, everybody. And it's time to end this show. And let me just see here. Where is... here we go. So, hang on. I'm going to the meeting dashboard. I'm muting you all. We're at 6:58.
All callers are unmuted.